The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 106.5.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome, everyone. I am George Williams. I'm your host, and this is the George Williams Show, which was formerly, before I was talked into going down, returning to South Florida, Your Point of View. But now it's the George Williams Show. I'm so glad to be here. It's very nice out today, folks, and I love the warm weather. I do not like cold weather. Okay, and we've got so many things to talk about. The second half of our show, we're going to have a guest come in, and I remind everyone on the 17th of April in Montgomery, Alabama, at the Embassy Suite Hotel, we're going to have the annual Alabama Minority GOP Executive Meeting. And the purpose of that meeting is we got to get our ducks in order, especially the black Republicans in Alabama. And that's what we're doing now, folks. And to me, that is very important because when I came back about 8 months ago to Alabama from South Florida, I started making contact with some of the black Republicans. And I found out that we lost a few. We lost quite a few folks. And to me, that was disturbing and unnecessary. So we are getting them back together because if we want to stop the Democrats, which is what we want to do, because to me, the most dangerous thing for Alabama and the United States as a whole is have the Democrats take over the government, state government, federal government, local county governments, and city governments, because folks, they don't know how to run them. Those states, those counties, those cities, there are many, many, many problems, and we don't need that. So, and they're trying to expand into Alabama, and we're going to stop it. We are definitely going to stop it. The Democrats have taken over Jefferson County, and look at Jefferson County as a result. Birmingham. Man, there are homicides every day in that city, in Birmingham, okay? Homicides every day, and we're talking, and they talk about this black lives matter. I mean, look at the homicides, blacks killing blacks. The only time you hear about, you hear Black Lives Matter coming out is when someone is attacked or shot or by the police, okay? Then all of a sudden they come out of the woodwork. But whenever a black in an urban city get killed, even in Montgomery here, even in Mobile here, Montgomery, you never hear the black politicians. You never hear the black leadership coming out and saying that, a black person has killed a black person, and they never complain. You never hear that. Why not? You only hear about it when there's a police officer shooting, like in Minnesota, okay? The police chief who resigned today, he was talking about this, and he was saying, well, the rioters and some of the reporters are saying, rioters? They didn't want him to use the word rioters. Those people are burning cop cars, attacking cop cars, attacking police, and they didn't want the chief to call those people rioters. I mean, where are we at in our country, folks? We got to think about that. Where are we at? But anyway, getting back to the Minority GOP Executive Meeting, that is in Montgomery. And that's this coming Saturday, folks, and we've been talking about it. Another thing we're gonna talk about is our candidate, and his name is Kenneth Pascal. He'll be here the second half of our show to give us an update on his campaign. It's a by-election because the person who held that seat, which is House District 73 in Shelby County, Matt Friday, had that seat, and he's a lawyer, and he was elected to the Alabama Courts of Appeal. So this is a by-election. Kenneth Pascal, he was one of five candidates. He was the only minority candidate in that group, and he came in second, a very close second behind the person who came in first. So if you didn't get 50% plus one, you would have a runoff election, and they have that on the 27th of this month, 27th of April. So it's important that Kenneth win this election. And I'm going to tell you why, folks. It's unbelievable, but it's true. In Alabama, we have the Democrats. I think there are like 38 Democrats in the Alabama House of Representatives. Out of that 38, 33 are black. Okay. Out of the state Senate, the Alabama Democratic officials, there are eight, I believe. And I believe that two of those are white, the rest are black. So you've got the Senate and the House, and they're just about all minorities, okay? But you have no black Republicans in the Alabama House, Alabama Senate. And that's why we are really focusing on this race, this House District 73, in Shelby County, to take over Matt Friday's seat, okay? That's why we're concentrating on that. So he would be the first black Republican to be elected in the Alabama House. And we really want that to happen because that is making history. That is making history. And let's make some history in Alabama because you know what they're saying out of Alabama, which is nothing but a bunch of lies. Alabama, they're nothing but racist. They're racist. They're racist. They're racist because we are a southern state. And I can tell you, I first came here in Alabama the end of 2005 after I retired from my services in the United States government. And I have not. And I've traveled all over Alabama, especially being the number two person in the Alabama Republican Party. I've traveled all over. And now I've been all over the state, and I've never run into any form of racism in Alabama. But yet and still, you hear them talk about it in the NAACP and all those organizations, the racism. Well, in my opinion, the racism is coming from the other side, from the Democrats and not the Republicans. The racism is coming from the Democrats, and that's a pity. So that is my observation, and if you want to argue with it, go ahead. That's my observation since I've been here, okay? Now, I got that off my chest, and Philip here, he's looking at me, he's shaking his head. Yeah, it's true. It is very, very true, and, you know, If you listen to the Democrats and on the news, if you're white, you're racist. Okay, you're white, you're racist. Well, I'm black, and I've been called a racist. Does it make sense? I've been called a racist. That is because I am a Republican. I am a Republican. And folks, we're going to get in later on in the show. We're going to start talking about this racism and where it came from and who stopped it until the Democrats started to back up. Okay, we will be talking about that in this show and future shows, folks, because that's very important. A lot of people don't know it was the Republicans who passed and who sponsored the Civil Rights Bill. It was the Republicans, not the Democrats. It was the Democrats who were against it. President Johnson, who was a Democratic president, he had to call the Democrats. He didn't call the Republicans. He had to talk to the Democrats about supporting the bill. It was Congressman Gerald Ford who later on became President Gerald Ford. He was a congressman. He sponsored that bill in the Congress for the House. And then it was Senator Edward Dirksen, a Republican, who sponsored it in the Senate. Okay? They had almost 100% Republican participation in that bill. It was Johnson. And then it was President Eisenhower in 57 who sponsored the Civil Rights Bill. And it was the future President John F. Kennedy, who was the senator in Massachusetts, who voted against it. John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the Democrat. He voted against the 1957 Civil Rights Bill. So, folks, we got to catch up on our history because a lot of folks, especially black folks, don't know all this. Don't know that. And before I go on this break, I'm going to tell you, it was Martin Luther King in November 1967 who voted for future President Nixon. That was the last time Dr. King voted, okay? He voted for President Nixon. He was a Republican. They were all Republicans. And then once the Civil Rights Bill came, they thought that it was the Democrats who passed it, who sponsored it. It was not. It was a Republican. Let's get the history right. And that's what we're going to do on this show. We're going to bring you up on true history.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back, folks. Welcome back. I am here, and we're talking about history. And you know what, folks? They should cover all this during the Black History Month. Nobody covers it. Nobody whatsoever covers this about the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. And to me, the Democratic Party is nothing but a plantation. Okay? They give you a little bit. And then they come back 4 years later and they give you a little bit more. You know, it's like giving you vegetables or fish or stuff like that, okay? The Republicans don't act like that. They don't do that. The Republicans, if you want to continue with your life, and you know, they'll give you the utensils to do your own farming, okay? To do your own farming so that you won't have to come back 4 years or 2 years or next year to come back and beg for it. And this is what we're doing now as minority Democrats, folks. You've got to get away from that. We've got to get away from that. And this is what's happening. Okay? To me, all lives matter, not just black lives. All lives matter. This is the most important thing to me. Suppose my daughter-in-law is of Mexican-American, okay? And she's the nicest person in the world, okay? So you don't think I will hurt if something happens to her? Of course I will be hurt, you know? So that means that all lives matter, and not just black lives matter. And the Democrats right now, folks, they're outrageous. And you look and see what's happening in the Biden administration, okay? What's happening in this country, you can't believe it. You can't believe what's happening in this country. It is truly unbelievable what they're doing in D.C. It's totally unbelievable. And you could see it. You look at the gas prices. You look at the amount of folks who are out of a job, you know, building a wall. There were hundreds of people working on that wall. These were paid, folks being paid for that. Look at the Keystone Pipeline. Thousands of people working on that pipeline. Yeah, And I was in my children call Walmart my second home because I'm always shopping in Walmart and I buy everything in Walmart. You know, yes, I am a cheapo. I am a cheapo. I buy everything, my shoes, my clothing, even my underwear, everything I buy at Walmart. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not ashamed to say it. I love Walmart. If one of my children called me and said, Daddy, where you at? I said, I'm at my second home. Oh, okay. They automatically know where I am, okay? And the prices in Walmart have really skyrocketed. They have gone up. Right? I'm in the process of building my house. I put that on hold because the lumber has gone up. The price of lumber has gone up like 1,000%, folks. I mean, this is terrible. And the Democrats are patting themselves on the back for the great job that they're doing in this country. And I've said this before, and I say it now. You folks who voted for the Democrats should put your head on backwards and walk forward, okay? Because you should be ashamed of yourself. This is what you want for this country? No, not really, folks. I spent 6 years in South America with the government, and I spent 6 years in Africa. And I can tell you now, and I spent a couple of years in Southeast Asia, and you look in this country and you see all the problems that they're having over there in these countries. Not one single country don't have problems, okay? And you got an influx of people coming from all those countries, all right? They're coming from all those countries through the border. All my years, I speak Portuguese. All my years in Brazil, what the Brazilians used to do is they used to, from Brazil, they would book a ticket to Canada, and then the flight would stop in the U.S., so they got off the flight because they have people here, and they discontinued their flight in Canada, okay? I worked the border for 3 years when I was with the federal government, and everything and everybody comes to that border. It's not just, some of these Brazilians also used to come into Mexico and cross the border, okay? They're coming in from China, from all over Russia, all over Europe. They're coming into Mexico. Now, if you try to get into Mexico, folks, for those of you who have gone in, you've got to show your ID card, and you've got to keep that on you at all time, and you've got to have a passport, okay? If you don't, your behind is in trouble because all the corruption in Mexico, they're going to get a few $1,000 from you. Okay? You're going to have to buy your way out. And if they have voting, everybody must show an ID card. In Brazil, they went farther in Brazil. If you're going to vote, well, you need an ID card for everything in Brazil. Everything. You pay your taxes. You need an ID to pay your taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes, you can't vote. You can't do anything. You can't open up a bank account. You've got to pay your taxes in Brazil. And that's how they have it. Okay? That's how they have it. Over in Africa, you got to have ID to vote. I mean, it's not going to do you any good because of like corruption over there. You think we had corruption? Well, there's nothing over here compared to over there. I tell folks, I'm glad my great-grandfather was bought here from Africa to America. Both of my great grandfathers were slaves, okay, and they both married Indians. And because of Jesse Jackson, them they say now they call them Native Americans, but they a lot of them still call themselves the Indians. So that's where both of my grandmothers were Indians. My great grandmothers, and they married slaves. My great grandfathers, okay, so those people who are coming over here, we don't know who the hell is coming over here. I'm telling you. And they're not our friends. They are not our friends. They are not friendly to Americans. Okay? Even folks coming from different parts of the world, they're not friendly with American folks here. Okay? They may act friendly in order to get what they want to get, but believe me, they're not. They're not. A lot of them despise this country. And I can tell you that with 1,000% accuracy. A lot of them are voting, and they should not be voting. Okay? Notice it's only the Democratic Party and the Democrats who are against ID for voting. Isn't that kind of strange, folks? Just the Democrats. Why? Why wouldn't they want folks who are not American citizens? Remember now, Constitution says you must be a U.S. citizen to vote. Every election. No if, no and, no but. The Democrats are calling for no ID to vote. Why? Why not? I find that very strange. But I know the reason why not. Because of corruption. Because people are voting who are not American citizens. There's no ifs, ands, or buts in it. Okay? Then you can also hear what the folks are saying. That it's discriminatory. Some of the voting laws. And you look at the Georgia law. Okay? What is discriminatory about that? Did the Georgia law specify that blacks can vote over here and whites can vote over there? No. Or this applies to blacks, this applies to whites, this applies to Chinese, this applies to Indians. You know, no, they did not say that, folks. The law applies to everybody. So how can it be discriminatory? Okay. Stop listening to this Democratic bull. And that's all it is, lies, bulls. You black folks, you minority, get your acts together. Come over to the Republican Party, okay? Get off of that slave plantation. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, we are coming live. And our job, we're on a mission, folks. We're on a mission. And our number one mission is to stop those Democrats, okay? I call them Democrats because anything anybody's doing on that side, you got to be a demon to do that, okay? How can you call yourself an American citizen? All right? You're demonizing this country. You're demonizing the police. You're demonizing the white people, folks. Yeah, you know, that's what you're doing. So I have to call you demons, and that's what I'm doing. All right, before our guests come on, I have an announcement from Miss Becky Garrison. Becky, how you doing? Sorry you called earlier and we couldn't get your phone. She's the executive director of the Eagle Forum of Alabama. And her message is she's speaking there tomorrow at the Norwood Republican Women's Gathering. Okay, it's 2 o'clock at 2700 Schillinger Road. All right? In Mobile. Schillinger Road South. Yes, I was just corrected. South. South. Okay. All right, folks. Here's our guest. Here is our guest, Kenneth Pascal, who is running for District House District 73 in Shelby County. How you doing, Kenneth?
George, I'm doing well. I'm just now getting off taking a break from the campaign trail to call in. I appreciate you having me on again.
Great. How's it coming up there?
I think we're doing well. Our grassroots effort is going well. I'm really happy with the team we put together, and we're 14 days out from our special runoff election on the 27th.
Uh-huh.
And we're still working hard, knocking on doors, and still working hard on our fundraising.
Right. How is the fundraiser coming?
Well, we're making progress. In any political campaign, that's always the hardest thing to do is our fundraising. We're doing grassroots mom and pop, just asking them to donate to Team Pasco. We stand in and running on for God and country. That's our mission statement, for God and country. And so our fundraising effort, we're still reaching out, asking people to donate, whether it's $5, $10. There's nothing too small, but we're definitely asking people to join our efforts to get across the finish line on April the 27th. And once again, I definitely appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share with your listeners, and they can visit my website at kennethpasco.com, and you can make a donation through our website.
Okay. Okay. Personally, how do you feel about your chances of winning this race? You know you're going to be making history. I feel you're going to win it. And a lot of people I've talked to, even up there where you're at, they're going to support you. I know we have people from down here coming up there next week to give you a hand and knock on doors.
Well, yes, I'm really excited about all the excitement, support. And I tell people, the Lord has guided my footsteps, so he already know the outcome, and I hope it's favorable. And but I'm feeling good about our hard work, and we just cannot take anything for granted. We have to work hard every single day, and we're doing that, you know. And I appreciate I received a call from your way down in Baldwin. I think it's down where Fairhope down there.
Yeah, that's Baldwin County. Yeah.
Yeah, someone had called and said he's going to drive up and help us knock on doors next weekend, and they made a donation to the campaign, and so I'm really excited.
Right.
And I'm feeling good. You know, we have to just keep working and cannot take our foot off the accelerator right now.
Yeah, and remember now, those folks, and I met the ones who sent you campaign, I met the ones who are coming up there, and they're all white, okay? And that's the important thing about Republicans. And the Republican Party, a lot of your campaign is going to come from Republicans, and the Democrats are going to be fighting you on that. Are you getting any campaign from anybody over on the other side? Any donation?
Well, no, I haven't seen any donations for us, just highlighting they're a Democrat. But my message is God and country, meaning that if I'm elected, my task, mission is to represent all people in our district, and I'm just trying to keep the conversation grassroots, asking people what issues, concerns they have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's resonating with people, because once you start talking about the basic needs and wants, whether you are Republican or Democrat, I'm finding that we have a lot in common.
Okay.
And so I think that's what's resonating with both sides of the aisle is, mm-hmm, we have someone that's willing to have the tough conversation without compromising their integrity in the foundation and what they believe in.
Right.
But at the same time, is willing to reach across the aisle, whether you're black, white, Democrat or Republican. And I tell people, my left and right limit is God and our Constitution.
Gotcha.
And I have to function to win inside of that. And I think that's really, really resonating with people.
Right, right. And that is great. And that's why we want to get that message out. And there will be others, other minorities who are going to run in the future. And we, you know, I know from minorities who have run before you, okay? And we have not gotten anybody on the state level elected in the Alabama House or Alabama Senate. No black Republicans. No minority Republican, but that doesn't mean that we're not gonna continue to do that, and we are going to continue until we get people. Because I tell people it's good to be on the inside instead of looking out, instead of outside looking in. So that's what we want you on the inside in the state house there, helping and to make laws. And I know you do a great job. What do you have right now on your agenda for the next 2 weeks until the election on 27?
Well, two things, two ingredients is voter contact. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to knock on the doors, talk to our voters. And I'm finding our voters, they want people to knock on their doors. They want their elected officials. They want the people running running to represent them to knock on their doors and ask them what issues and concerns do they have. And everyone is there's a fear out there also. And what one thing I bring to the table with that is my pledge and commitment mm-hmm. to get back to the Constitution. I think we need leaders that that clearly understand the Constitution and the power of our Constitution, particularly our 10th Amendment, which is states' rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so two ingredients for the next 14 days, knocking on doors, voter contact, and we have to continue our fundraising to enhance that.
Right. Give our audience a little bit of history about yourself. Tell them who you are, your background, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Well, I'm a 21-year career military veteran. I emphasize the word career military because I'm not a career politician, but I do want to continue to serve. And in 1985, I joined the military, and I raised my hand, and I took an oath. I said, I swear to defend our Constitution against foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. And I think our biggest threat right now is domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And so although I'm retired, I still have an obligation to defend our Constitution, and I would do that. And if I need help of the citizens in Shelby County to go to the polls and vote on April the 27th. Upon my retirement, I moved back to Shelby County, been in Shelby County the last 14 years. And I worked with many nonprofit organizations. One in particular is the Alabama Family Rights Association, where I spent the last 11 years working with our legislators in Montgomery as a private citizen, volunteering my time to learn in the legislative process, trying to promote the importance of family, the importance of kids having two parents.
Mm-hmm.
We have many federal programs that incentivize kids having one parent. But I have learned the legislative process, have drafted legislation, debated legislation, all to enhance the family unit. And I think the family unit is under attack, and I think we need leaders that can continue to fight for the family and continue to fight for our country. And so that's why, if elected, I'm ready to go to work on day one.
Right.
And so that's just a summary of who I am. More detailed bio can be found on our website at kennethpascoe.com.
Right, right. Kenny, we got about another 20 seconds before our break, and then I'd like for you to hold on, and then we'll you know, finish this up during the last segment. So, you know, just hold on, and we'll get back to you, okay? Because I like talking to you, and I think this election is so important for Alabama to show the outside states, other states. They keep calling us a bunch of racists here in Alabama, and so we want you elected. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. We're talking to Mr. Kenneth Pascal. He's running in House District 73, and that's in Shelby County, and that's a special election because the person who held that seat got elected to the Alabama Courts of Appeal. And so we're hoping that Kenny make history in Alabama. And you can do it, folks. You can help him out. Are you there, Ken?
Yes, I am.
All right. What else do you want our audience to know? How can they donate to your campaign?
Well, George, I want the audience to know, as a Republican candidate here in the Shelby County, House District 73, I'm one of five candidates. Now I'm one of two candidates in the special election runoff. I'm an outsider, which I'm okay with that, but I'm considered to be an outsider, meaning I'm not part of any special interest group. I haven't had any special interest group donate to my campaign. But I do need help from our brothers and sisters. As a conservative, we really need your help from the financial standpoint. And people can visit my website at Kenneth Pascoe, and it's spelled P-A-S-C chal.com. And feel free to donate. There's no amount that's too small, but I am considered to be an outsider. But I'm running for God and country, and I definitely appreciate any support we can get.
All right. That sounds good, folks. Mr. Kenneth Pascal, running for House District, Special Election 73 in Shelby County. All right. We wish you luck. And
George,
we'll see you Saturday at the minority GOP's executive meeting, correct?
Well, yes. I'm excited to meet everyone there, and I definitely see you Saturday morning.
All right. All right. Thank you, and I'll see you Saturday.
All right, thanks. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Mr. Kenneth Pascal, folks, and we want him to make history, and he will be doing that if he wins this race as the first black Republican in the Alabama House of Representatives. Okay? They have full of Democrats, but no Republicans. So this is what we want him to why we want him to win that seat, folks. All right, what else did we talk about, Phillips? Huh? What else can we talk about? Now, it's very important, folks, that we learn or we get to know about our history and what has happened over the last 50 years or 40 years since the Civil Rights Act, since the march by Dr. King in 63. Okay? That's very important. I never hear it about our true Republican black history. Okay? Myself, I was the first black Republican, the highest ranking Republican that this state have ever had in Alabama. The first. Okay? That's history. It seemed like we're always making history, you know? We're making history this, we're making history that, but that's all right. That's all right. That's part of it. But the thing is, we have to tell the truth. The Democrats, if you remember the old Walter Cronkite days, folks, well, Walter Cronkite would report the news, and we would be young people in front of our parents. We'd be sitting on the floor looking at Walter Cronkite and listening to the news. In those days, you only had three channels. You had CBS, ABC, and NBC, okay? And the news people, the Huntley Brinkley Report, okay? The news people told you the news. It was fact because it was the news. But these idiots now, especially on CNN, on MSNBC, Rachel Madam, or whatever his name is, it's unbelievable. Everything is opinionized. They're not telling you the truth. It's all opinionized, okay? They are not, and then they have to come back and somehow or another put it in an apologetic way. You know, it's that's not true. And this is what they're doing, folks. So when somebody tell me, I heard Cuomo's brother, Chris Cuomo, say this, I don't believe a darn thing that Chris Cuomo tells you. Okay, or Ms. Lemon, all right? I don't believe a darn thing that come from those individuals because they're opinionizing everything. They are not telling you the truth. They're not telling you the truth. So they don't tell the truth. I listen also to the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. They're all over the world. They're just like CNN when I was stationed in South America, stationed in Africa. Well, you get your worldwide news from the BBC or you got it from CNN. Okay. Now Al Jazeera is out. So I read those newspapers. I read those on the net every day. And something could happen. I listen to the Trump speech and when I read it over the net, it's altogether different. It's not what Trump said. It's not what Trump said. Okay? They twist it. Or either if when President Trump made a statement at the CPAC, they were saying, oh, these allegations of voter corruption in America, but we know there were no corruption. Now, why would a reporter write that? Okay? How did that reporter know that there was no corruption? It's unbelievable. So everything is opinionized now. And opinion in my book from those media outlets are nothing but lies. Opinion equals a lie. And that's my take on that. So these are the things that we got to look at. And also the Republican Party, we've allowed the Democrats to tell our story. Okay? We need to tell our own story, because when they tell our story, it's nothing but a bunch of lies. Nothing but a bunch of lies. It cannot be factual, and most of the time it's not factual. Okay? So we must tell our own stories, and that's why I tell Republicans out there, especially white Republicans, get some gut. Stand up against those Democrats. Okay? Stand up against them. It's about time we stand up against them. Okay? They think, and don't worry about them calling you racist. They're going to do that anyway, folks. You, all you white folks out there, you Republicans, look, they're going to call you a racist no matter what, okay? And they're going to associate you with the Confederate monuments and the Civil War. You weren't even born that time. What do you have to do with that? But they want you to feel guilty, okay, for something you had nothing to do with it. And then they talk about reparation. All right, all these black folks who came from 1900s to America, they had nothing to do with the Civil War. They had nothing to do with the Civil War. My grandfathers, yes, they were slaves. My great-grandfathers, I'm sorry. My grandfathers were born in the latter part of the 1800s. But my great-grandfathers were slaves. They were born over here as slaves, okay? So how are you going to differentiate who gets reparation? And the Democrats know, folks, it's not going to happen. But they do that in order to entice the minorities. Stay with us. Stay with us. You see, we're trying to protect you. We want to give you money. We want to give you this and that. Those giving days are over, folks, okay? Those giving days are older. You've got to earn what you get. You've got to earn it. And you feel much better by earning it. Okay? There was a guy on the TV, he passed away. He said, what you get, you've got to earn. And that's what the Republicans want you to do. Earn what you get, and you feel much better. All right? All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Until next week, same time. And I'll say it again. Vi con Deus, everybody.